Hello everyone, welcome. It's time again for Heart to Heart. I love when the Lord speaks from the heart, and He always speaks from the heart. Every time He speaks, it's from His heart. And He's very dedicated to what He's doing. Everything the Lord does, He does it according to His perfect wisdom. He will not do anyone wrong. Everything He speaks is well thought out. Now with men, we don't do that as much. But with God, He does. Everything, whatever He says to us, whatever He reveals to us, He does it with strategy at the right time. Everything is always considered. And I don't say that lightly. That's how I know Him. Some things that He revealed is surprising to me. And I go back and replay it in my heart. I think about it. You know, He told Isaiah to write something with man's pen. Now I was listening to Isaiah chapter 8 last night. The Lord had at His direction, and that was one of the things that stuck out to me. Sometimes the Lord will tell you to write something on the table of your heart. Now, He taught me to do that. And some of the thoughts He gave me, I write it in my heart. But He told Isaiah to write his son's name, Meir Shalal Hashbaz, with a man's pen. And that was so other people could see it. But the reason it stuck out to me is because He taught me to write things in my heart. And when He say things that's profound to me, that's amazing to me, after He tell me what to do, I rehearse it, I consider it, I meditate on it a while, and then I ask Him questions that develop. And that's how you get to know the Lord. And then you find out, even as you act on what He's saying, and you see the wisdom in it for what it is, you learn more. You always learn more. And then I dialogue with Him about what I'm learning, what He said, and I begin to see how much thought He put into what He said. Even from the time He called me to the ministry. You know, we are a creation. We don't always value what God values. We don't always see what He sees in us. And sometimes we feel like we're not qualified, but we don't see the qualifications that are there. And we don't see the capability of what we can become in Him. But He does. And He equips us to at least begin the process. And every time you obey Him and you master a step, it prepares you for the next one. Remember, what He did in us is great. The healing, when you believe on Jesus Christ, a healing process begins in your heart. Nobody can see that, but you can feel it. Sometimes you can tangibly feel it. But out in life, things that used to trip you up, make you fall, cause you concern, you outgrow those things, and you find yourself laughing at what used to bother you the most. And you find yourself winning whereas you used to lose. You find yourself walking away from temptations that used to make you stumble. And people can see you walking away from things that you that they know you once couldn't stand against. And they see growth. They see processes of growth in you over time. And then you get stronger and stronger. And what used to bother you, you conquer it. They see you conquering life. And the enemy does not want this process to continue. So he uses outside forces such as people with that don't think the same way. People that are trained different. People that are groomed to fail. He wants them to speak into your life to buffet what you're doing. And then the demons, he dispatches demons to give you the false thoughts in your life, to get you to be lazy against the things of God, You know, when the Lord gave me definition, the definition for laziness, he said laziness is a death. And that's the best way to describe it. It doesn't kill, it's just dead. It's a death. And if it's an evil seed. If you're lazy against something, you're not doing what's going to make you come to life. And if you stop, a lot of people want to be rich so they can sit down. They can go somewhere and rest and sit down and do nothing. If you do that, your body will die. Your muscles will get weak. Your respiratory system will get weak. Your heart weight, there's no reason for your heart to get strong. Remember, it is a muscle. And if you stop being active, your whole body starts weakening and weakening and weakening. And the things that make you alive stops. People who have physical jobs tend to live longer and better if they stay away from stress and learn not to worry. And then eat right. Now, eating right won't solve all the problems, because you can have the best diet and still die of a heart attack. Always consider the process of life, things that make things stronger and better. Everything God does in us, he does in seed form. And we gradually grow into the image of Christ from the time we first believe. And we're so excited about it. We don't know all the details, but we're excited about the fact there's a refreshing to know that you're going to live forever. You have a brand new spirit. You're excited about loving people. You're willing to do the word of God. And then others, you know, even sometimes people that are further along, they quell your joy. Because the enemy has been working on them for years, and they've walked away from that kind of love and joy. And I love to be around people when they first get saved, because they're excited. And sometimes Christians that are older, they get into a mundane mode. And they hardly smile anymore. I like to be around people that are refreshed in the Lord. And the things that cause you to go forward are vibrant. But laziness is something that will take you down. My goal is not to get rich so I can sit back and do nothing. My goal is to prosper in every way I can so I can be strong as I can. And as I prosper, even financially, I will find a way to do more in the kingdom of God to help people live. Now I may come across as a workaholic, but that's not the case. A healthy life is ministry. Taking time to enjoy your life works together as ministry if you do it right. Now, let's say I finish paying my house off and I buy me a house at the lake. And instead of going to church, I just go stay at the lake and go fishing. Now, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to go and do everything that I supposed that I do. That I will not stop the living process that God has helped me to go forward in. I'll continue to do my part. But I will take time and take my family to the lake. And we'll enjoy time together. And my friends, we'll go to the lake and fish. Everything can be done decently and in order. And if you do it that way, it's a louder voice for God. And the things that you love to do, like motorcycle riding, you can find other people that do it. Y'all, you know, you're interacting with people and they're around you. And eventually the doors will be open for you to minister to them. And sometimes Christians just need a break. You know, activity is something we need to include in our life. God did not tell us to avoid it. In fact, if people would have followed God, God would have given them breaks so that they could do stuff like that. I told one pastor, I said, the way the Lord you dealt with me, he would give me revelation and train me for a purpose. And then he used me in ministry for a season. And then he'd give me a break and I'd recuperate and I'd rest and just enjoy him. And then he started giving me revelation again. Now that's something that I noticed. It took me a few years to see the pattern that God was using. Jimmy Swagger, before he fell, he booked himself so tight. He preached every weekend. He put it on his calendar. He did it. Now, he was on fire for God. Now, most people remember the fall, but I remember the fire. I remember the fire. That man preached a hot sermon every week. That man loved God. But people don't know this. When you're preaching and teaching, the word that's in you keeping you strong is leaving. And you're feeding others. I learned this from just watching. I said, he's not giving himself breath. I knew this back then. I had just gotten saved. I said, it seemed like he running a tight schedule. I remember when his wife bought him a diesel truck to help haul equipment from town to town. And it was his birthday present. She bought him a semi, a brand new one. And he was thankful for it. They were good people. I'm not condoning a fall. But I'm showing you wisdom. Because I remember those days. I remember the fire more than the fall. The world just made a big deal out of it because they don't love God no way. They was waiting on something like this to happen. And then they couldn't wait to call him a fraud. But I'm going to show you something. That we don't repeat the same things. Comparing how God dealt with me. I enjoyed my relationship with the Lord. Now I did not know everything. But God didn't allow me to minister more than I should. You have to take a break. And in taking break, you spend time with God and recuperate. And I learned facts about the Word of God. It charges your heart. And when you're ministering to people a lot, you have to take in the Word a lot. Because we run off the Word of God, just like cars run off gas. You know, the Word of God charges your heart. Let's say it's like a battery. Your heart's like a battery. The Word charges it. Then you speak it. You operate in ministry. You lay hands on the sick. You pray for people. You counsel people. If you don't, Jesus used to stop and spend time with the Lord. Every time he had a great camp meeting, after it was over, he'd go spend. You just read the scriptures. He went and spent time with the Lord. That was his vacation time. That was his time to refresh and recuperate. Now, rewards. If you work, you need to be rewarded. Now, the spirit don't get tired, but the mind, it has to have a break, and the body has to have a break. You have to do things you like so that you won't get complacent. Everything has its own purpose. Your body has to move and exercise to keep your blood pumping, to keep your muscles strong. But laziness will take all that away from you. My goal is not to be lazy. It's not to overrest. And it's not to overwork. But as I go forward in life, if my life is full of the wisdom of God, it's more attractive. God is represented better. And the enemy is trying to hide it. Now, when Jimmy Swagger fell, I believe that he exhausted the word in his heart. And everywhere a man like that goes, women love power. And a lot of women that were weak flirted with him. Because if people see you as a powerful person, a prominent person, they are automatically attracted to you. And it went from there. The enemy will, if you look at something in the world and get distracted, and if you fall for temptation, your will gets weaker. And if you don't have the strength to resist it, you fall. Your heart gets harder and your will gets weaker. I learned to curse the things of Satan by saying, not using cuss words and profanity, but saying, I hate that sin. I stopped the works of that sin in my life. And I hate whatever Satan's tempting me with, I hate it. If he's tempting me with a person, I say, I hate that temptation. That's God's child. I will not defile myself. I will not defile God's child. I love God's child. That's how you know you have to stop the process of the temptation. And that's how I learned to stand. And I pray for myself. I pray for my strength. And I pray for hers too. That's what I did when the enemy was, and I did this around the time Jimmy Swagger fell. I would listen to Charles Capps. I learned to use my words to control my destiny. And you know, there's a proverb that says, greater is he, better is he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. Now, some people will say the most powerful man is he that can take control of a whole city and subdue it. But the man that can order his spirit, that's the most powerful man, because he's in control of himself. The word of God gives you strength so that you can be in control of yourself, so that you can say no to what's wrong and yes, and embrace what's true and what's of love, what's of God. And through all this, I learned to go forward, and life is good. Now, many people think that God wants them to just do ministry and work, or just get a lot of money so that they can sit down. They feel overwhelmed by the business of ministry, the working of it. No. The process of ministry is supposed to be joy, multiplied joy, until that joy is full. And you do that by doing exactly what God say. See, if you just go out and do it and come up with a campaign of your own workings, of your own mind, of your own will, that's going to eventually frustrate you, because the life of God is not completely in it. It's in it somewhat because you love God. But it's just like a good idea. A good idea compared to a move of the Holy Spirit. Something that the Holy Spirit originate, it can't come close to comparing to it. But what the Holy Spirit give you to do is well thought out and well planned out. Now, some people want to look good, so they rush into it before they get all the facts. No. Once God give you something to do, get an understanding. Talk to Him about it. Enjoy the process of it. And do it exactly like He give you to do it. And when it's time for you to take a break, take a break. Your break's not going to kill the work of God. Do what the Holy Spirit guides you to do. He's preparing you for the people you're going to meet and also at the time that they're capable of hearing your message. And if you give it to them too fast, it won't work the same. You have to stay in the strategy of God. And the Lord may be on fire to do His will, like Jimmy Swagger was. You feel on fire, you want to do something now. But ask the Lord, okay, ask Him every day, what do I do today? What's your wisdom for today? And He may have you to go to the park and relax. He may have you to go fishing. He may advise you to go chill, go and, you know, do something you like to do that's fun, fish or something, ride motorcycles. When I first bought my motorcycle, I rode it to church, and as I was riding it to church, I was enjoying myself. And I went across town, because I went to Pastor Webb's church at Word of Life in the old building, and I had my brand new motorcycle, and I was happy. And the Lord started talking to me about some things. He gave me a message while I'm enjoying that motorcycle. See, the Lord is, you're going to have more fun if you learn who God is. Some things of God have been hidden because people focus, the way people focus is the way that they minister. If they focus on a lot of work and they don't know how to enjoy the process, they preach that way and they present God that way. And people expect God to be that way. But God is very practical. He's very wise. If you follow his plan, you will operate like a well-oiled machine. And not like a raggedy machine. A well-oiled machine runs smooth. You can barely hear it run. It hums. You know it's powerful. It's doing its job. And you can be the same way. You can operate. Your joy increases as you do things God's way. And he'll give you times of rest so that you don't get burnt out. And sometimes the need is greater and it's not wise for you to take a break. And the Lord understands that. And he'll do other things. He has countermeasures to help you survive so that you can minister the need. Sometimes Jesus was about to take a break and here come a crowd. He didn't have time to go get refreshed. He had to minister some more. Now that may happen. It may happen to you. But when it's time to take a rest period, take that rest period. And then sometimes our spouse will say, hey, you overdoing it. You need to rest. Don't get mad at her or don't get mad at him. Listen, you're not the only one with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it takes somebody from the outside to help us. It's not going to hurt the plan of God just because you have to do something else. It may be your children. Hey, daddy, slow down. Let's go to the park like we used to. Let's take a vacation for a while. Consider it. All right, God told you what to do. You know where you're going. Now consider what others say as they speak by the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is say, Lord, is this you? What do I do? Check it out. Ain't nothing wrong. And he'll give you wisdom for the situation. And if it's not fitting to go right there, plan it and do it. Do it when it's fitting. These are the practical things that have hurt the church. One scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine because they chew on the roots of it. They chew at the stem and kill the whole thing. Crazy foxes. But lack of knowledge doesn't have to exist in our lives. The enemy is afraid of the anointing. He's afraid of what you can do as you draw near to the Lord. Remembering the two olive trees, if you stay in the presence of the Lord, you'll know these things. You will detect these things. You'll pay attention to the move of God. Now, last broadcast, I wanted to get to something that I didn't. Elisha had Joash to shoot the ground. We explained that. I'm not going to cover that part, but I'm going to start at verse 20. It said, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man that behold they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into a sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched his bones and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Alright, now he came back to life, he was healed, and he stood on his feet. Remember, a double portion of the anointing of Elijah was on Elisha, right? This man was anointed. He had nobody to lay hands on that I know of. This is one scripture that shows you that the anointing will be on you forever. Now, he died, and there was nobody to activate it. But when the dead man fell on Elijah's bones, he came back to life healed. When you never underestimate what the anointing can do in your life. Never underestimate it. Because God is with us and our anointing, it grows as we're faithful and obedient. Remember, your faith is the highest form of sincerity. Some people will think it's worship, but it's not. It's faith. Because worship that's in current faith. See, faith is the foundation. And as long as that faith, you faithfully take God at his word. You trust God. You have faith in what God says. You love God. And you're willing to operate in faith. You're willing to continue in faith. And then you praise and worship the Lord. As long as you're in faith, your praise and your worship is in spirit and in truth. Your eyes are single. You're not looking at the world. You're not distracted. You're looking unto him. And you're praising him for who he is and worshiping him. All because of your faith. If your faith is sincere, which it is, your worship will be sincere. And when your worship is sincere, you're in spirit and in truth. And now you're at a point where God can move in your life. God can move in your life, bless you, take you forward, and take you faster. And cause you to do all that's in his heart. He loves you. He loves you openly. He cares about you. He's not ashamed unless you deny Jesus Christ. Now the anointing, I used Elisha for this example. Now Jesus said that there was no prophet greater than John the Baptist. Then he said, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now here's why. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And if we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is upon us. And with what we call filled with the Holy Spirit. Even if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you spoke in tongues, which is the initial sign that he's upon you, that doesn't mean you're always filled. The word says be being filled with the Holy Spirit. As you enter into faithful praise and worship, you can receive the full, you just filled with the Holy Ghost. When they sought for people to help with the elderly, they sought a man that was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom in Acts. Now I've seen people that was full of the Holy Ghost, but it's a wonderful thing to see somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Everybody that's full of the Holy Ghost is not always full of wisdom. And they saw the man, they found Stephen. He was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, God loves us. And when he anoints us to do something, if you pay attention to the Lord, his guidance, his leading, the things he brings to you, if you pay attention to those things, my friend, you're going to learn a lot more than you expected to. He's going to help you live beyond your vision. Because as you grow from glory to glory, he'll show you things, all right? If you don't have vision for it, you'll be cautious. But as you learn to trust him, you can enter in and act on the new vision that he's supplying you with. Remember, it always takes courage. It always, 100% of the time, takes courage to enter into new vision. Now, just like when I presented everybody on that hears the broadcast, that God will give you rest periods along the way so that you can fortify and not fall, so that you can enjoy his presence. If you ever forget to do that, you become burnt out. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's like pulling a cart that's easy to roll, and all the only load on there on your part is a pillow full of feathers. Now you yoke together with Jesus, you put on a light load, and he's doing the hard part. Your portion is the light load. You have the body. You operate in the earth. You speak his words. He does the planning. You do the doing. But your burden is light. But when you don't take breaks and rest periods ordered by the Holy Ghost, you can become burnt out. And you start working sloppy then. That's when the enemy starts taking advantage that you shouldn't let him get away with. That's when things start going haywire. But when you're sober and vigilant and you're well rested, when the enemy comes, you're ready for him. You put him down. When you're around the anointing, you activate the anointing. Joash, he didn't fully activate Elisha's anointing. Elisha said, shoot the ground. He shot it three times. He had enough wisdom to shoot it three times because that was the limit of his conviction. Now, if he loved God more, and he did come to see about the prophet. So he partook of the prophet's anointing. He shot the ground three times. That was the limit of his conviction. Now, what if he was well rested, full of the Holy Ghost? He was in tune to do the order of God. He would have shot the ground seven times and destroyed Syria, the greatest stronghold against Israel. And Satan would have had to develop a new stronghold. And then if Israel would have got on board, they would have conquered that and completed the will of God, not got blinded and not divided out of their land. God wants you to walk his best walk. You don't have to walk a struggling walk. I'm not saying you don't have to endure hard times. You're more than a conqueror and equipped to handle it. But if you do it God's way, it's much better. It's safer. You'll live longer and better. Now, we're about out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life. Bless you. Take and give you his wisdom. Just receive it. When it's beyond what you're used to, embrace it. Speak it. Say, I will do it this way. And people are going to say no because they don't have the vision for it. People always say what they don't have vision for. They just can't see it working. But when your eyes are on Jesus, you see greater things, and it's up to you to enter that door by your faith.